You know what I would do?
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 Wow! Here we are again! A couple of pals hanging out, chatting with that manic pre-10 a.m. energy.
I just saw you put on a like skin suit face first and just like stretch it over your eyes. It was really scary.
I've been
to
on
see
a network
that.
Sitcom before, and that's just what you gotta do.
You gotta turn it on.
You go in, you go, it doesn't matter how I feel inside.
No.
I'm gonna make these people laugh
that's
with these
right.
cultural references.
Well, dude, you gotta clock in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we all have to do that. Aren't we all putting on a mask every day?
Let me tell you.
Hold on a second. I don't mean the film, the mask. Mm-hmm. I mean like
you said putting on a mask. You didn't say putting on the mask. Well,
yeah,
that confusion might arise.
There's two different mask movies.
Yeah, but there's not one called A Mask.
Yeah.
But I'm saying never have to worry about that because it's not the mask.
Yeah, of course I have to worry about it.
If you were already referring to a mask and we knew that that was the antecedent and then you said, I'm putting on the mask, then a little bit, you go, well, maybe he's talking about he's going to watch that Jim Carrey or the Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Isn't that called
The
Mask?
The Man in the Iron Mask. Is that what you're thinking
about? Oh, yeah. But then who's the one in Mask?
Jamie, whatever the guy is, Kennedy. He's the other one
no,
in the mask.
No. That's Son of the Mask.
But still the mask.
Right. But I'm saying there's also another movie for the confusion that is called Mask.
Isn't it a silent film?
No. It sucks that I don't know this.
It doesn't matter.
I agree with you that Leonardo DiCaprio was in Man in the Iron Mask.
You're not humbling yourself.
I agree with you, and I'm willing to accept that defeat.
That's what it's fucking
called.
Now, wait,
something I wanted to say to you, though, as you were just talking about, don't we put on a mask every day? One thing I always notice.
And I don't mean the film.
No, I, it was a mask. But when you walk by someone, you have like the most quick, micro, polite engagement. You give a nice smile. And then for me, the second I am past them, smile drops all the way down. I'm sad again.
I actually keep it going. And then I mime to fake people the same thing. Like, how are you? Okay.
Oh, you keep it going. That's
how do
good.
You do?
That's good.
I let it ride out
against the gesture.
Yeah. Because I'm like, to do
a ramped up into it.
E-brake on that?
Because
I'm
it's
like,
the e-brake that I'm talking about where I go, it feels sociopathic.
Exactly.
Where I'm smiling and then it's dead face.
No, I gotta slowly come to a stop.
Yeah. It seems like it's a good time to go, as though you were really tickled and charmed by that 1 second engagement.
Yeah, my buddy Tim Taylor, your friend as well,
the tool man.
We worked together at the restaurant, and it just family. That's all I can say. Family over there.
Yeah,
and we'll pass each other in the hallway, and I'll give him a how you doing, bud? Like one of those. And
that makes me want to work with you guys. That sounds fun. I know that it's coming from a place of your soul being crushed.
Yes, yeah.
Your crawl being sushed.
Your crawl being sushed, and that's even worse than your soul being crushed because your crawl. Yeah. If we don't, because like you're thinking about your soul, you're thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
What's the two things together? Your crawl. And if we're talking about things that are presented to us. That are anecdotal.
Yeah.
If we're talking about things that are presented to us that are informational, then we're gotta be talking about the audience doo-doos and boy.
But we haven't even said hello, welcome to the podcast. You know what I would do? Where two guys don't say the title until about 5 minutes in.
Because that's how we want it. Because
that's what the goal was all along. That's how we just said we have a little title card in front of both of us. It's taped to the wall. It says 5 minutes vamping.
Can't see it on the video, but it's
there. You got to just trust us.
Trust
it's right out of frame.
On the
5 minutes vamping every time.
I am kind of pissed out of my ass when I see a movie and the first thing that comes on the screen is the title.
Okay.
I know what I bought.
Whoa.
I saw the poster out front. All right. I don't need that in front. I will say, though, sometimes, and I this is a symptom of my environment, I will put something on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put something on.
I think it's just Max now.
You
still say HBO.
You don't get to tell me what to name it.
Yeah.
All right. You can name it whatever you want, Corpo America, your corpit.
Yeah.
I get to call it what I want.
And I still call it the Oz app.
I say HBO Max because I believe in mom and pop brick and mortars. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I believe you name everything after the first show that you watched on that network.
HBO.
Oz app. I watched Oz on this.
So you're watching Oz.
Yeah.
You're watching Hulu. Mm. You're on Prime Video.
Sure.
You're on Tubi.
Sure.
You're on Netflix.
Sure.
You're on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
You're on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Okay.
Discovery
you're
at
Freevee.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Discovery Plus
Voodoo.
Is actually absorbed back into HBO Max,
great.
Buddy. So
that's
stay
great.
With it.
That's
but are you
great.
Talking cable?
Did you say Peacock?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Okay. If we're talking about the Bravo app. Okay.
Uh-huh.
If we're talking about
Showtime, anytime.
Anytime, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
CBS Plus. app. Mm-hmm. Only way I can watch college football, SEC Network, is when I go through that.
There you go. But I can't, ESPN app as
can't
well.
Stream it on my TV. Yeah. I got to go through my laptop for some
That's
reason.
Good.
CBS,
That's
if you're
good.
Listening, fix it.
Yes.
All right. But all of this to say,
yeah.
When I put something on the TV,
you don't need the title.
No, I forget what I'm watching. Sometimes I click it and I'm like, what the
so
fuck
you
is I
do
watching?
Need the
I
title.
Need the title. This is all to say, give me the title of the very first thing I see because I need it.
No, I think actually what you're describing is you need it at every time you return from commercials and intermittently throughout the entire thing. Because I go, if you throw it at the beginning, that only helps you if you happen to look at the beginning.
Oh, exactly.
You're not going to be looking at the beginning.
I don't know when does the beginning start?
That's a great question. You're going to need it popping up all throughout. Yeah. You're going to need it written on the background, but you're also going to need it superimposed.
Yes. I need crew members walking around in sick-ass fucking jackets.
Yes.
Let's say the name of the...
Yeah, just walking by going, is the Phantom.
I had a couple guys just like, wearing headsets.
Because that would increase the quality of the movie, The Phantom, which we both love. Yeah.
Love.
Yes, yeah.
Vinny Jones. Now, who's the actor who's in that?
Vinny Jones.
So we got an audience due to...
Are you talking about Billy Zane?
Billy Zane.
Yeah.
But I knew there was a Z.
Yeah. That's true.
So this audience due to comes at us through our Patreon. Now we got a Patreon. I know what you're thinking.
He's going back and forth each week. And please do... But also, doesn't it almost... It feels hard to ask people to sign up for a Patreon because you go... How many other ones are you in?
And also, like, what are we providing?
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's just more of this, more you know? It sure would mean a lot to me, though.
Help us out. Yeah. And, like, you know, the Patreon does help to provide, like, fees for us to, like, then pay other people for editing and other shit. It goes right back into the pot. So if you want to support us, that's really what it does. It just helps us keep going. And one day, make $1 billion.
Help it be a successful mom and pop organization over here, as opposed to a failing mom and pop, which we're going through right now, which is putting tremendous pressure on our relationship.
And so much stress at the household, too.
No, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like what night has not ended with a fight?
I don't know. Every night ends with a fight.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we know it's bedtime.
Yeah, right.
So let's get right into this audience doo-doo from the Patreon. Mm-hmm. So this person...
I just also want to say, we want to be a mom and pop, non-corporate entity, to then be absorbed by some kind of major conglomerate.
Well, no, you wish for every mom and pop shop to eventually reach a point where they're absorbed by a corporate entity.
Exactly.
So that at least you go, now you don't have to worry about
it. If there's a legacy I can gift my children, it'll be getting a large sum of money and then spending it so quickly we end up in bankruptcy.
That's
the legacy
Let them franchise our image well beyond anything that represents us.
Welp. So this comes from our Patreon. Now, if you subscribe to our Patreon, you have extreme priority in what gets read.
Yeah. In what gets read.
There it is. Hey, Joey and Mike. I'm first.
Yeah. I do look at that and I go, it's alphabetical.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's just easier. You go, it's alphabetical.
Mike is before Joey.
No.
Yes, it is. We have the same amount of vowels.
Yeah.
Right? But the K comes before the Y when it becomes a consonant.
That's true. So you're saying it's kind of a one-to-one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's true. So ratio-wise,
I should go first. So.
Well, yeah, you do go first because it's alphabetical.
And I should.
I agree.
After seeing Joey's most recent post on Instagram, this is from a while ago.
I don't follow.
I need to know, what is y'all's opinion on Scrum Masters? Did you see this when I posted this shit?
I was seeing a little bit, but I went to this whole wormhole of how to mute your close friends.
Exactly, and you're not able to because you can unmute that on your end as well. Yeah. So a Scrum Master is this insane title that I found out through our friend Jamie who works in HR. Like we were sending each other back like these job LinkedIn requests, right? People are looking to fill these positions. And one of them was for a Scrum Master. And I was like, it's not real. And then I looked it up and a Scrum Master
is it related to rugby?
Not at all. Well, there is a version of it, like the scrum in the pile, right? Where you're like, knocking each other's shoulders to try to get the little ball. It's actually a medium size ball. I wouldn't say little. I don't want to discredit anyone.
Yeah,
who's
it's
a
medium
player.
Size.
It's That's not true. Like a little ball, okay?
It's,
but to
it's
be
about
fair,
the size of a volleyball.
It's bigger than American football, but I'll say this. I'll say this though, okay?
Yeah.
It's not as fun to throw.
It's oblong, right?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like an American football without the pointy edges.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes.
So, because
rugby was getting popular in like
you're wearing a rugby shirt
in our
on a collar,
yeah, not exactly, right, yeah. Right. But it was getting popular sort of like right at the end of my experience in high school.
Yeah,
I never would have played it though, never.
You've been great,
but it's a little bit more interesting than football. I would not have been.
You would have been great as the guy that we got to pick up and
yeah,
throw
that's
to catch
true.
It, you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Tall, lanky arms and stuff.
No, but
toes.
I was small when I was in high school.
I'm saying to you now though, in high school.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
If it was like a never been kissed scenario, tomorrow, and I'm going back there.
And I lift you up and no. Toes.
If I went back to high school now, I would play rugby as an undercover reporter or whatever, trying to get
buddy,
in with the
good luck making the team.
Yeah,
I'm there too.
No. But they, you know, you got Rudy. You got, you know, there's always going to be the one guy you let on the team because he just wants it so bad and it's sad.
But you got to make sure you're cool with us because I'm running that squad right now.
Actually,
I'm
no, I heard it. That. I tried to move.
I'm
past
not running it, but I'm like friends with the guy who is.
Yeah, no, I know. And you'll do anything to take him down if the opportunity presents
itself. And don't you dare get close to him, right?
Yeah. No, exactly.
So this person goes on to write and says, I was Scrum certified back in .22. They mean 2022. I assume so. Uh-huh. It's important to do this when you're ever talking
probably
about...
Probably more of an apostrophe, not a comma.
I don't know. It's up top.
Let me look.
It's up top.
Yeah. Back top. In 22, yeah.
So 22 what? Because this is important. You got to go 2022. I assume that's what they meant.
Yeah. But a part of you goes, 1922? What the fuck? You know, right? World War One.
Help us out. It's post World War One.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was gonna say right after World War One, you're coming out.
But
of
that's
it.
After.
Totally.
It's not. But again, post World War One doesn't mean you're posting about World War One on Instagram.
No, and when I say, I sort of feel like there is like an insulating year barrier with wars where you go like you're kind of still like in the war mentality about 6 years after.
Buddy, I never left.
Yeah. You know what I'm especially saying? Back then where you didn't have social media to help you move on to the next war.
Of course. Right. Exactly. Or even start one internally.
Yeah. Yes.
I was Scrum certified back in 22. I assume 2022. And since then, my life's been changed. Not for the best, but changed nonetheless. What do you guys think being Scrum certified means?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure either. So maybe your infinite wisdom will guide me in my new career. You guys know the best. All the best. Hope you make all oodles more episodes. Love the pod. So far,
I fucking knew it was going to be a thing.
With 4.5 shits given, CC Jenkins, a.k.a. Chris.
That's nice. We've heard from CC before, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is, and I don't know if you've noticed this, I only notice this when I edit the pod, but I interrupt you like all the time. You also interrupt me like constantly.
I'm just talking, and I'm getting through what I'm saying.
Yes, totally. Yeah. So only you're the victim here. I never let you finish just now explaining what Scrum certification is. I'm doing a lot of, I think those are called spoonerisms, where you flip letters from the words.
I do that all the time, then. You're talking to me flipping spoons, buddy?
Yeah.
Put me in the Appalachian Mountains, I got spoons hitting my knee
right
now. Well,
you just got to assume it was like first studied by a neurologist named like David Spooner.
I don't assume that.
Yeah.
I think a spoon is the first one who found out about it.
Wilhelm Spooner.
I think an actual tablespoon, metal, not wooden, okay, reflected off some kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then that
right as someone misspoke. And they were like, they also had synesthesia. They're like, I saw it in the letters, and I bounced back on the spooner. And then they were like, we're going to call that a spoonerism.
I'm saying that that misspeak was so profound, it gave sentience to that spoon.
Yeah.
That spoon came alive, buddy.
I love that.
And it popped out little human arms, little humy legs, spoon feet.
Were two different types of writers pitching a premise to Pixar.
Same room.
Yeah.
Same team.
Yeah, we're back and forth. Mine is sort of like that things are representative and there's an underlying neurological condition.
And
yours
I'm
is
coming
like
up
anthropomorphization.
With merch. I'm coming up with merch.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing.
And you're making sure to give a not so subtle nod to Toy Story 4, in which I think the character's name is Sporky.
Well, he's like a spork character.
Yeah, yeah.
Which in my history and you know, taking of like that movie, evil character.
Yeah, because you've probably just never seen Toy Story 4.
I've never seen it.
You tapped out at Toy Story 3?
I saw the first one.
Uh-huh. You never saw the second one, so you didn't even know?
So
much good stuff.
Can we get into the Scrum Master?
But have you seen Lightyear?
No.
Oh.
No.
You gotta see it.
I watch Wall-E and Up every day.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Yes. Wall-E's amazing.
Up. I just cry.
Yeah.
So Scrum Master, do you really want me to tell you what it is?
I really, really do.
Okay. This is from what I understood.
Good.
Based on the stuff I was reading online that I could remember when I was reading it because I was looking at other things. Okay. So the Scrum
Master. That's internet research.
That's exactly what it is. Do your own, bud.
Mm-hmm.
So a Scrum Master is a team leader organized underneath like an actual team, whether it's marketing or another version of marketing, like viral marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also marketing. Mm-hmm. Within a corporate structure.
Yeah.
So you have the executive guy who's running everything.
Sure.
And then you have marketing.
Yeah, you are losing me. I have to admit, like, I also understand that you're sort of making a joke, but I'm it's literally how I do hear people talk about business, where I am completely zoned out. I start picturing like sort of blue carpeting and like bad overhead lighting, and I sort of like see the, I basically see an office that Neo is escaping towards the beginning of the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
And even though that was more of a green tone. And then, but then I just go like, I can't focus. I can't listen to this. I can't listen to this. Yeah, that's how I feel when people talk.
But the Scrum Master has their own team. Seem to be like a freelance position that's brought in to then like organize a group of people for a specific goal. And what they're supposed to do is like a managerial position. Like they're just here to like make sure that these like deadlines.
But they're like roving sort of. Kind of. I feel like they're like IA, internal affairs.
Yeah.
It's where like, you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, you think it's going to be one of these things like, yeah. Oh, like, you know, we're like the grunge homicide division.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we're not given as much of like, we're like the Marines. We don't get like all the fancy equipment. We get shit done.
Yeah.
Our way.
Hands always like kind of looped in into your belt a little bit.
Or maybe your skin.
Yeah.
Maybe you've looped your skin.
It depends. If you've done like one of David Blaine, who's the guy who like put like the self mortification stuff, he'd like hang from hooks.
Oh
like,
yeah, well that's just some kinky shit. That's a lot of people.
I'm saying if you did that and so you have the opening.
Oh, some kind of Hellraiser scenario where like you walk in the office and I'm just hanging on hooks, just like telling you what to write and all that shit.
Yeah, or the cell. That's right.
Yeah. People getting off to that shit. Mm-hmm. Another Z. So Billy Zane. So
D'Onofrio? Vincent.
So I am just like obsessed with being a Scrum Master. I'm obsessed with getting my certification in it and researching what
it was. I really like it.
I was like, oh, I bet, no disrespect to anyone who's a Scrum Master, I think anyone could do that because the job qualifiers were so vague.
I kind of feel like anyone can do any job. I think that's kind of like the nature of a lot of jobs.
But that's not how it should be.
Not well. Okay. No, I know, but you know, I you can go through an education system and manage to do it.
If there's anything,
with any job that there is.
If there's any silver lining to like the Trump presidency, it proved to us that anybody based on title does not need to be there because they don't know what they're doing. Just because you have that position.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking broadly about any type of job, but I do agree that did sort of, it like removed a veil. Yeah. Like it really like revealed the levels of incompetence that, like just you see someone everywhere. And you go like, Scaramucci has like a law degree.
Like, what the fuck?
You know, you just see all, and you go, oh, wow. So anyone can get it or it's any of these assholes. I feel like a lot of the Trump assholes like went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And I just go like, oh, you went to Harvard?
So you can just do that and still be an idiot? What the fuck?
That's great.
That's cool. Pretty chill.
Yeah, it's pretty
really
chill.
Fun stuff. Meritocracy, baby.
Yeah, that's I would say I'm very pro the, you're calling it a Scrum leader.
Master.
I think it should be a Scrum Lord. So my what I would do is it's they just got to have.
Well, what do you think it does first before like you?
They're just kind of a roving hostile presence in an office space to sort of like hover over people. It's like upper management, so
like
but they're actually
chief.
On our level. Yeah, where it's kind of like you're just like looking. They're always looking for trouble.
Yeah,
but
what's the point of why are they doing that? Why are they antagonizing?
To fear people into getting the jobs done a little bit faster, you know, a little bit more efficiently. Yeah.
Don't you think, this is just a question.
Yeah.
Don't you think if I'm scared going to work every day of all the things that could
be a Scrum Lord.
Of a Scrum Lord and the roaming bandits that like accompany him, I imagine.
But it's sort of like doing a haunted hayride or something where they never make physical contact.
Hold on a second.
And they never fully threaten.
Hold on a second. You gotta let me finish here because we gotta create this visual because I want you to understand what I'm seeing.
Okay.
And if that is correct.
Okay, sorry. I felt like I was getting a note and I just wasn't.
No, you're not getting
it.
A note, okay?
And Thank you.
Just don't fucking interrupt. Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
So you're a lord. I imagine you in some kind of like medieval dark ages, kind of like a lot of leather buckles. Silver, unpolished kind of shit, dirty as crap.
I'm picturing sort of like.
Let me finish, okay?
Sure.
You also got a crew with you, okay? Everyone is like physically, like visually different, okay? You got like a really big, heavy set guy like that, shirtless, like he's got a giant, like mallet looking thing, except it's like just like a ball.
That's
just
I'm picturing like, the exact same thing.
Totally terrifying, scary. You also got another dude, really skinny, sinewy, kind of hunched back.
Yes.
All right, he's got two sickles on him, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, like just like that, okay? Just like
I feel like we're pulling from the same image book. Here.
Let me finish,
because I agree. The types are all there, but I think there's one more type, right?
Yeah, there's a woman, okay, and she's in the back, cloaked. Okay, she's always smoking, and she's ranger.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
She's got a crossbow, and then she's got daggers and a longbow. Yeah. And you're like, well, why do you have two crossbow and the longbow? The crossbow is just to get shit done quick.
Yeah,
all right?
And I think one tiny robot that smokes a cigarette too.
Well. And so, like, that's what's roaming cubicle to cubicle.
That's what I picture,
threatening people, all right? And I want you to know, I'm not going to get my work done. I'm terrified.
Then we're going to have to let you go.
And into the parking lot where they're going to beat the shit out of me?
That is what, they're allowed to do whatever they want out there. There are these rules and regulations
so in
on
the parking
the floor.
Lot.
In the parking lot, I just go, anyone can do anything down there.
Terrifying.
But that's just my pitch. You know, it's just my idealized version of the world. And so that's just what I would do.
CC, to be fair, that's what Mike thinks of Scrum Master. So maybe don't yell at him. Okay? Yeah.
And I'm scared of the corporate world. I am.
Corporate's scary.
So in my mind, the only way to fix it is to inject sort of like Hellraiser style characters into it. Just inject a different kind of fear. Because ultimately, I feel like just narratively, the Scrum Lords will always eventually go for upper management. Like, they'll be terrorizing them as well, and I think that's the main thing we want.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you release that kind of evil out there, you know, unfettered.
It's only
going to
be on the ground level for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Like in 13 Ghosts, like, they're going for the lead guy that whole time, but they're killing the underlings.
Undervalued movie. Very scary for the time.
I did rewatch it recently at, like, 10 a.m., and I was really enjoying it.
It was great. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you, when I watched it as a kid, in the dark, scared me.
Yes. I was too scared to watch it until I was, like, an older
The visuals
teenager.
Are very graphic. I loved it. I was like, the ghosts are fun. Yeah. It's cool. Cool. Yeah. Cool special effects. SSS, as I say in the industry. SSS. So this is what I would do, or what is it actually what I think a Scrum Master is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me just, because I told you what it was like on the internet, but let me tell you what it was in my mind if I just start. Okay. A Scrum Master is an individual, single person who runs a team, except that team, there's only one person, and that's just a Scrum Master. Masker, okay? Back to the mask, okay? Because they're wearing that when they go to work, making sure everyone can believe that everything is okay, but it ain't.
Yeah.
They're drowning. Yeah. You think I missed the step, bud? I found another platform.
I think you misspoke.
I created it myself. That's how good I am, baby.
A Scrum Masker.
Why don't you call me a Scrum Masker?
Yeah, and then you just randomly call back the mask thing from earlier.
Because it gave me a platform to sprint on, all right?
Yeah.
So this individual who's a Scrum.
To make it seem like it wasn't a misspeak.
How about don't interrupt? A Scrum Master.
How about don't interrupt?
How about don't interrupt?
Mm-hmm.
A Scrum Master is an individual who's running a team that corporate thinks is like 20, 30 people strong. It ain't. It's just one dude working remote, scared to go into the office.
That's fine.
Because if they go into the office, they're going to be confronted with the fact that they don't got that portfolio done.
Yeah.
They haven't emailed that lawyer. They don't have the marketing materials ready to go.
Sure. But so they're mostly like an online entity.
No, dude, that's a human being. I'm not talking about an AI.
Do they just never show up at the office?
They're so scared.
But I'm saying like they're not doing the thing that we talked about from a previous audio studio of like sending the message and saying like, hey, and doing that. Like, it's not like an online. Well,
they're not like pinging people. They're not like a Slack like chat.
They're just at home hiding.
Yeah. Because, dude, right now, they're just an invoice line. You know what I'm saying? They're just like.
They're just getting paid.
They're just getting paid. Yeah. And they're scared.
But wait, I think I missed something. So what are they so scared of?
They don't have the work done. That's a Scrum
Master. And what is their work? What does the Scrum Master do?
To get the portfolio in. Email that lawyer. Make sure the marketing materials are sent in.
I see.
They don't have it.
I see. And so they're like, I'm just going to hide at home. But ultimately, you're saying that's what the job actually is. So a Scrum Master is someone who doesn't do the job and is scared they're going to get in trouble for not doing the job. Like those details. But actually, they're just being paid to be at home scared.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because they're supposed
that's
to
That's what I would do, actually. I think I would be a Scrum Master. That sounds like my exact
That's what I think a lot of people are
role
Scrum Masters.
In corporate.
Because it's supposed to be anywhere a team to 5 to 30 people.
Yeah.
Guess what? You think corporate's hiring a team of 5 to 30 people?
No, they're hiring one person who's going to stay at home scared going like, I got to make that PowerPoint.
Like, how often do they be like, hey, we just fired 20 people. Oh, Mike, you have an executive position. You're going to absorb all those roles now.
Yeah.
And no pay increase.
Yeah.
And by the way,
if I'm in an executive position, there's got to be a pay increase, right? What's the point otherwise?
Because then you're going to lose your executive job. No. But guess what? We've also
got more to lose
let
now.
Loose snakes in the office, too. And it's no more work from home.
Okay. Hope that helps, CC Jenkins.
Hope that helps.
Now, okay, so for our first thing we're going to talk about today, I've written down science as magic. But
I also wrote that down.
Okay.
I also wrote it down.
I'm not trying to own any of this or say that I did more work. I don't care.
I don't care either.
I know. The way you jumped on it, though, I go, it's all good.
I wrote this down. I wrote it down,
totally.
Too. Okay, I copied and pasted it.
Okay, then you explain it. Sorry.
I don't know it. You wrote it down.
Okay, so basically, I was just thinking about when science gets so sort of like esoteric that it's sort of like everyone working in it to explain to us has to kind of go like, just trust us. This is a little complicated.
Kind of like improv.
Yes, I guess so. But like, I always feel like that about like quantum mechanics, you know? I've read a bunch of books on it. and where it's covering the exact same subject repeatedly, and I go, I don't understand this at all.
I think there's like, from what you're talking about, especially, that's a great example. I think you got to just be like baptized and like soaking in it all the time to really get it. If you're not hands-on with shit, it does become like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, and you're kind of trying to conceptualize it, and you're like, oh, some of that kind of makes sense. And it's definitely interesting, but I don't understand.
You go to the gas station, and you fill up your car with gas. Like, I get it in theory, but you're telling me that like the car eats the gas and then shits out fuel, and that's how I drive around.
And technically, yes.
I don't know, like that doesn't make any sense.
As far as like a combustion reaction goes, I guess.
But electric vehicles need more gas?
No,
I don't understand.
No, like, the answer to that is no.
Like, see, it's just like if you're not in it, you don't know.
Right. But so I was reading this thing the other day about deciphering these old, like, I think they're called like Herculean scrolls. They found these scrolls. There was this competition called like the Vesuvius Project, where basically they found these 1,000-year-old scrolls, and they initially thought that they were like logs of dry wood, but it had actually been, it was these scrolls that had gotten fucked up through, you know, the 1,000 years, volcanic something, whatever.
They found what initially they thought were logs of dried wood, some petrified wood, right? Yeah. So like these scientists digging around somewhere and were like, hey, we just found like 6 logs.
No. 1,000 of them. But it was also, they basically didn't know. They found like a room, like a space.
Gotcha. Okay.
And in it, they were like, they start taking the logs sort of stuff out and they're treating it like it's garbage, basically. Not exactly, but they're not handling it with care. And then someone figures out that basically this room was a library. And then they're like, there was a library. Then those are the fucking scrolls, whatever. And so then
give that guy a raise.
Yeah. Well, he probably got a raise.
Give that guy a raise.
Yeah. Well, he was mentioned in the article and I forgot his name. So he gets that. So then they go like everyone is really trying to decipher these scrolls, but obviously you can't open them. Like it's so not calcified, but you know, it's been like vulcanized, like
a keypad or something.
No. You just can't open it. It'll just like turn to dust if you try.
They're
you know?
So just like dried out. Yeah. Like it'll shatter. Like, you know,
yes. And so they start this competition that was called the Vesuvius Project or whatever.
And it's like who can eat the most?
And it's to see who can use some sort of technology, whatever, to decipher or open or extract any sort of information.
I love this because this is how cool science gets done.
Oh, yeah, because these guys are actually trying to figure it out separately. And then they were like, we should make it a competition.
Yes.
I think it was for like $150,000 or something.
So
all these people are trying to use different technologies to do it. One person was trying to do this technology that used like engineering, like wires, whatever, to slowly open the thing or whatever. And it just slowly destroyed
the thing
or whatever. And they tried all these different, someone sliced it in half to try and open and whatever. And like just all these different ways of destroying
ruining
it. It's
things.
Pretty
just
amazing.
Destroying.
And so indelicate, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But so then basically
you got to get through those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I would try too. Yeah. I'd be like, what if we slice it in half and try
It's like
know.
The Flutog, the Red Bull, like, you know, kart race, whatever you jump off. Like,
yes, they, yes. Like, and it's increasingly more complicated attempts at it. You know, where some people are taking it seriously. Some people are like doing it for the lulz.
They're
basically.
Drunk when they got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so basically then someone figures out, you know, that they can x-ray it, do like, I think it's called like a C-scan or something, like shooting all these different sort of, you know, like different types of wavelengths sort of science stuff to sort of see the layers and the depth of it or whatever. And then from that, then they try and they isolate there's 1,000 layers to this fucking thing. And it, you know, it's so thin and the differences are so tiny, but it's like we had to do these imaging, whatever things to figure that out. And then someone figured out that you could try to use language, like massive language learning models, to decipher the language. It's all in Greek. And
it's Greek
by
to me.
By scanning the different layers, I heard that, like with all these, you know, resonance imaging, whatever machines. And from that, then trying to decipher based on the shapes and what you've learned from them as basically glyphs, you know, for 1,000 years. Like what it is saying or whatever. And they, you know, basically they ended up using like an AI thing that was reading the layers based on, you know, like, cause you can't even get like a measurable difference in age or anything. Like it's not like you can carbon date the ink or whatever. And so it's this whole complicated thing. All of which then they're like, and then the AI translated that it says this. Where that sounds awesome to me. But I was also just picturing just if you know none of the any of that information and then someone's going like just explaining like then this scans this and it says this inside. To me, it is so magic sounding that I just go like, eventually, like, there's some old quote that's like, all magic is like science we don't understand or something. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like, oh, eventually you're going to get into this other direction with it where the science involved is so like beyond our comprehension that then it becomes magic again.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's already there, I think, in a lot of ways. There's like, have you seen those videos?
Oh, yeah. Everyone looks at ChatGPT like it's magic already.
Yeah, they're like, when people are able to like find photos of somebody and the AI generates a face moving.
Yes. Yeah. Really like bizarre. Yeah, really bizarre. Yeah. It's like Harry Potter shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like that, like magic. How did you do that? Like that kind of shit. Yeah. You know, even the.
No, I bet it feels amazing. Like if that's your loved one that you lost or whatever, I bet it feels awesome.
Wild. Wow. But like, there's so much technology that we take for granted. And I'm like, yeah, it's just how it is. Google Maps is wild. Like, this will tell me exactly how to get there.
Yeah.
It's just so cool. Can't wait for the time when we are worshiping these sciences and these things because we just forgot about what normal religion is. We don't even know how to make these things
anymore.
Or
we're hoping that the technology sort of like looks at us and goes like, I will make you a superpower now. Like that kind of makes some logical sense that eventually people would worship those things.
It's wild. Like, I mean, you know, why did we attack women doctors who we called witches back in the day? It's because they were using science in like, you know, the natural world, finding different ingredients, putting them together, making ointments, giving different cure-alls, et cetera, that were like working instead of just praying to God and giving him all your corn.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So that stuff is scary. There's magic, quote unquote, to it. And it's like, it's just science.
And they're like, I don't understand
that. Yeah, right. It's like, it's easy.
If more people believe in that, then they won't come to the church and give me all of their belongings.
Well, you could use both. You can use both. Like, I'm still down to pray something. Just like, it make me feel better now. You know, that's kind of like...
But I mean, that's a good point. I do feel like there's so much, like Google Translate, just these simple things.
Dude,
like, wow, that's really amazing.
That Babbel thing when you're like, you can say something and like it'll say it into someone else's language, like whenever you're out. Like,
there's this other language translator that uses AI that's called DeepL. It's really, really crazy.
Is it good?
It's amazing. Like, I really love it. Like, it's, you know, you can speak in another language into it and then it will write it in that language and then translate it. Like, it's like amazing for learning a language where you just say it and then it does it. And it's really bizarre stuff. But I'm like, that's also just feels like magic to me.
That's
like,
so cool.
Yeah.
I love magic. I love the idea of it. I love like secret stone. I do like Excalibur or these things of like exceptional strength or exceptional ability or like knowledge. We have those now.
Yeah,
we already have that shit. It's like the phone is that like your Apple Watch. Like these are devices that like I can see in some. Like, you know that movie Eli with Denzel Washington who's going around there.
The
like,
Book of Eli.
Book of Eli. Yeah. The mask. A mask. And like. There are just like, I imagine a time when there's like some kind of dark ages approaching faster than we want, right? And then like someone's got an Apple Watch and somehow still connected to a satellite and able to do whatever. Like this thing can guide you. It's like, that's like a compass. That's like a special, like this magic thing gifted by the gods of a bygone era. Like that's, can't wait. I'm saying, can't wait for that.
Can't
wait for that.
No, yeah, that'll be cool. But I mean, also just by, you know, like having like mass production lines and stuff where you can get better materials and make better sorts of things. Like, I feel like so many objects, you know, have just like a different kind of sort of engineering heft to them and it makes them feel like sacred.
I will say, though, all the different kind of lines that we have right now of the chain of supply, et cetera, like that, that's what they suspect caused the Bronze Age collapse. The two interconnecting pieces, like too much interconnecting pieces of the world, where if one thing falls, it like causes a domino effect where everything else just topples. So just, you know, hey, not to skip this. Why is this a scary app? Mm-hmm. Why is this a scary app?
I wasn't thinking it was.
I ain't either.
Oh, great.
I ain't either. This is what I would do about science is magic. And magic is science. Yeah. Okay. Especially talking about that.
I kind of feel like we're going to say the same thing.
You don't know what I'm going
to
say.
I said, I kind of feel like.
Okay, great. Well, I feel like a lot of things, but I don't say it out loud.
Yeah,
okay?
I would argue that that is categorically
I can
false.
Argue about anything I want.
Yes. True.
This is what I would do about science is magic. Yeah. I would actually put magic in science.
That's great.
And I don't mean getting some kind of powder or getting a genie, but no, I'm saying like when I'm teaching science, because I am now the head of education in the United States, okay? Secretary of Education, okay? I'm called the SECDEC, okay? Secretary of Education.
You have the knowledge.
That's what I got, bud, all right? So I'm in there. I'm saying we got to know about STEM, right? Science, technology, engineering, math, okay?
Engineering. And you look right at the camera. Leave it in.
You know what wasn't in STEM? English. Okay. I yeah. took that out because yeah. that's not science. I don't give a shit. Okay. Yeah. Even though communication is key.
Language, arts, and science.
I think that should be part. I think liberal arts should be, hey, why don't you get a little of the sciences?
Yeah.
I'd bring in close-up magic into science class. Just,
okay? Yeah, I love that.
I'd bring in like, you know, like, oh, you want to make things disappear? I'm going to card counting, et cetera. Yeah. Like how do I
just
make
another skill? Just add another skill. That's great.
Do you know what's going to help these competitions? You know what's going to help people trying to find a cure to cancer?
Hmm.
A little levity.
A little Patch Adams for you.
A little bit of somebody being like, oh my God, I feel it. They look over, it's their nose.
Yes.
LOL. Yeah. Not the real nose.
No. But it's could like, die from that.
Well, they wouldn't die.
Depends on how they removed it.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. If it was like a blunted instrument that was like rusty.
If you used a sword to stab directly through in the center the hell of the face to get it to poke out on the other side. And you take it off like a skewer and you go like, I got the nose.
Yeah, but it wouldn't get the nose.
I was just saying that's a way you could die yeah, from someone removing your nose.
Of course there'd be a way to die.
That's all I'm saying.
It's not a way to remove the nose.
Well, yeah, that guy would get punished for that. For sure. In all of our models, he would get punished.
Yeah.
Now, what I would do, and this is what I thought you were going to say, and you did not say what I thought you were going to say, so I shouldn't have said it. But I would accelerate our technology faster and faster and faster until, yeah, just like what we're already doing, but even faster, so that our technology becomes more like magic more quickly. Because I want to feel that way before I'm dead.
You thought that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say basically accelerate the tech.
Mm.
Yeah, that just seemed like, but you're dressed like a director today and not like an executive.
Right.
So you don't have the normal executive energy that's wanting to fast track everything.
I'm a creative.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're like, I'm one of the guys here. Like, we're all here to make a creative project.
I do need someone to gas my car up.
Yeah. Yes. You walked up with you're going to do like fun check-ins with everyone right as you've arrived at set. But actually you're like, the main thing I'm over here to say is that I need someone to gas my car up. Like you come over, you're like, oh, what's up? Hey, how's it going? Hey, Manuel. Hey, nice to see you guys. And you're checking with everyone. Hey, how's the son? You good? Yeah. It's great. If you don't mind, could you go gas up my car?
Do you mind
go
gas up my
car? And everyone's like, we were all in the middle of a whole deep conversation right now.
Yeah, do you mind gas up my car?
That's great. So that science is magic. We love it.
I'm into that.
Now, this next thing is something I will say that as I was just learning about it, one of the things that kept being mentioned is it's one of the most difficult things to understand.
This episode is going to be a mic heavy episode.
Yeah.
Okay? I think
I beat Joey to the punch of picking the categories.
I'll say this. I think every time Mike's topics come up, I think we all get excited. We're going to learn something. But it does mean if you're driving, pull over. You're going to go to sleep.
You are going
to
fall asleep.
So, like, just pay attention. Yes. All right?
But so then save this episode for bedtime.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, let's say you're trying to do some kind of like sneak thing and steal some like a document or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Play this episode inside the apartment. Get everyone to fall asleep.
Yeah, put some soft headphones onto their ears. Sneak them on. They'll fall asleep. But so this is talking about star formation. There was a couple Scientific Americans ago. They did a whole sort of like
looking at. They're still Scientific Americans now.
Once a month, a magazine called Scientific American comes out. I should have clarified. I wasn't talking about people who are scientific who live in this country. So they were talking about star formation, whatever. And I was just kind of, I don't know if. Do you ever think about this at all? Like, I kind of never really do.
Well, we talked about this a little bit, like a couple episodes ago, about the idea of the galaxy and like how complicated it is and the length of time, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's so abstract to me.
It's
that,
so
like, wild. I go, oh, okay, look, when you give me a visualization of how many Earths can fit in whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
I'm
yes,
like,
yes.
I don't know, dude.
I haven't
been to like Asia. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know
they're
how
like,
big
they're like 9,000 Earths fit into Saturn.
Like, okay, so I guess, like, is that good?
Yeah.
Should we attack Saturn?
That's what
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just give you the small brushstrokes of this. I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on this. But so there's this idea it's called a stellar nursery or a star nursery, which
love
is
it.
Like where stars are slowly formed or whatever. Like they're places that we can see now where you go like a star is formed in this very slow, hundreds of millions of years, chemical reaction basically.
So it's not an actual area that stars are all made and then they get shot out somewhere else.
No.
Okay.
No,
that would have been
like
fun
these
as
are in sort of like huge pockets of empty space.
Gotcha.
These, it's basically hydrogen atoms are like, and where it's like really, really cold. Hydrogen atoms are coming together slowly in these kind of gaseous clouds with hydrogen molecules, which is basically bonded atoms. And it's this slow process where they kind of move around, and then that intermingling like leads to, you know, these chemical reactions. It makes the space more dense. It draws more gas in. It creates the reaction of, you know, which basically form these like roots or these like big systems of gases interacting in different ways across like light years. Like mm-hmm. it's huge spaces. So it's going to be like more dense here, more dense there, but it's all like these sort of long nodules that all sort of interconnect. Here it's like really dense and they're all pushed together. Here it's kind of like this slower reaction where they're moving around each other really slowly. Eventually, over time, enough of it builds up and you create enough of these pockets of the gravity getting denser and denser, and like these interactions where more of the atoms are becoming molecules, and it's sort of, and it's, I gotta stress, so cold that it slowly over time creates these fusion reactions where everything all pushes together and makes this huge thing until it all becomes super dense right in the center, and it all pushes together and explodes out into a star where basically like all of the hydrogen mixing with like the lithium and iron.
Coca-Cola.
All of it. Then when it explodes becomes like, I think it's nitrogen. And it just, so a huge chemical reaction takes hundreds of millions of years, and then it births this thing. And so, like, so when I say that there's like a nursery, it's like there's viewable spaces now with like radio and infrared where you can see these molecular and atomic formations, and you go, eventually over enough time, that will birth this star.
Are all stars like the same thing or no?
I think they basically are, but then like their size will then dictate like chemical composition, basically, where it gets super massive, and so you're like, that's a hydrogen star.
Well,
that's
all star, like, are all stars like a red sun like we have or no?
Like the red, when they say red sun, that's describing its age.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, that's like part of its journey towards,
and like a white
collapse.
Dwarf is like,
yes, that's like post red star.
Gotcha,
when it's like,
gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha. And what's this earliest color like scheme? Is it something like, can you do like,
I think it's
turquoise?
Probably, I mean, wouldn't it be probably on like the teal. Roy G. Biv sort of thing? So,
oh, I guess, you know,
okay. I think it's like really soft, and then it comes out white, and then it's red, and then it explodes, and then it's, you know, a more massive.
Who knows what's inside? Maybe candy.
Yeah. But it's also like, anytime I read this sort of thing, it's sort of like nothing. It's so much and so little is happening in my head where it's so hard to understand.
Yeah.
Well, and like, you go like, over 100 million years. It's so passive.
We've never seen a star form, because it's like we've just, I mean, that's actually, I don't know that.
No, but we basically haven't. Like, this article is so also much talking time. About how you also, it's like really hard for the mind to visualize, because
you're
everything we
distant.
Look at, it's only two dimensional, because you're looking at it through a lens.
Oh, right.
And so it's always coming to you two dimensionally.
And
so you never see it three dimensionally. And so it's like, it's really, really hard to visualize.
And isn't that like whatever light we're seeing or like possibly not there anymore, just from distance, et cetera?
Yeah. But I always feel like that kind of thing. I feel like it's like one of those things where it's said a lot more than it's like,
telescopes.
Oh, shut up.
Bad telescopes.
Yeah, well, no. It's like the main one that you always hear is that like what we see of the sun because of light speed, that's 8 minutes ago or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so like states based on distance then are described by light speed. And right. So it takes a longer and longer to reach the human eye or whatever.
Not for me.
But yeah, it's like all these stars that we see out in the distance, it's like they could already be dead for millions of years, and the light is still traveling.
Somebody help them!
Yeah.
Star formation. That is fucking wild. We need them. We fucking need them. I like the fact that they're out in the middle of nowhere and they just got nothing going on. So they decide, like, hey, all the hydrogen, let's get together. Let's do something. It's really cold, boys.
Yeah.
And the hydrogen want to get warmed up.
Yeah.
So they just do that up. And then you know what happens? A star is formed.
Yep.
Gravitational pull is created. Uh-huh. Asteroid fields collide. Those other gases and other chemical things start knocking into each other, making a planet.
Well, it's sort of like the you know, if you picture like a hydrogen atom, which is, you know, Dr. Manhattan circle dot, little dot in the middle. And then two of those together, they have, you know, the sort of dots are moving around, right? And then it's basically when it gets cold enough and the gravity is strong enough, they're sort of destabilizing that molecular structure so that the two centers merge and create a chemical reaction.
That's so fun to me to think that the hydrogen atom looks like what a solar system looks like.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, just, I mean, that's kind of like the
that,
way
you know
though,
that,
that,
you know
that,
that
we make sense of something about what the electron path is.
But you know what's interesting about that? To me, that proves God.
Yeah. I mean, look, dude, all symmetries do suggest this feeling of, you know, divinity. But I always feel like that sort of thing, I go like, oh, we just think that because we are the result of that. Also, like, it's symmetry, and symmetry is amazing, but it's like the symmetrical things.
That's an idea that's already been embedded in us.
Yeah.
That then we project as the fact to, like, how to
explain. Well, and it's satisfying. It's really satisfying, like, to some old OCD part of your brain.
Oh, my God. To say there's a God, it feels so good.
Oh, no. I'm talking about symmetries, like things like that align or so balanced or whatever.
It's just cool.
Semi-unrelated. I recently read this other thing that was about they were trying to figure out, like, the way that a snowflake is formed and how it can undergo the same process to create a different sort of thing or whatever. But it's another one of these things where you look at the science, you go, like, that is really, really cool.
It's amazing.
It's very interesting. But then at the same time, you go, like, yeah, it just kind of is what it is. Yeah, it just does that. It makes sense. Like, the whole star formation thing I was thinking about was, like, how much it makes sense. But it also is so hard to visualize, where you go, like, it's just these atoms and this slow, if it, nothing can affect it. It doesn't matter. Like, it's just, there's no pull or preference to the thing. There's no consciousness to it. It's just eventually the chemical thing will occur. It's so fucking crazy.
I wish there was more harmony between humans and nature. Just because you're like, look at what it's already doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, well, you know, I always think, you know, nature, you know, we just have to be in complete respect to nature, because it basically doesn't regard us at all. Like, it's like, we kind of don't matter to it. We're a blip in the cosmic scale of nature.
We're a part of it. It's not like we're not separate
from it. But we think we are. That's all the human hubris as well, of, like, all the ways that we can master nature. So then, you know, all this stuff. And then we're like, it's easy. Just kill the ozone.
Come on. don't, dude.
But what I would do with star formation is I would make it go a little faster so we could really see it and make it make some sense to us a little bit more.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I'm on an acceleration path at the moment, because I want that with the tech as well.
So this is what I would do about star formation. And I'm actually talking about the star nursery, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I would dress up like a nurse, go inside that nursery, you know what I'm saying? Steal one of the star babies. Yeah, okay. Now, hold on a second. I know you're saying that's horrible. Why would you do that?
It feels like the start of a comic book.
It's science. Okay. Yeah. So I take this star that's being born and I raise it as a human and I give it all the martial arts training I know.
Yeah.
I give it all the close quarter combat training.
Kind of like Star Lord, actually, from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't think they were born as a star.
I actually think that was kind of the function of the second movie.
I don't know.
Like, Kurt Russell, something about, like,
I saw the
star.
First Toy Story.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
You're not a completionist with these series. You go, I got it.
So I'm going to train this star in all the ways that I know, in all the ways of compassion, empathy, love, okay? I'm going to give it a good education in philosophy and the virtues, okay?
And just so I can understand, too, like, where are you doing this? Are you doing this in, like, the vacuum of space, or this is on Earth?
No, I'm doing this in New York, 1972.
Oh, in the 70s. Okay? Oh, I'm glad I asked.
So we're hanging out. We're in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, Saturday Night Fever.
Hey, was that Andy Warhol?
I don't know. Who just said that? Who just said that?
Yeah.
So I'm training it, teaching it, and letting them know it has to be a vigilante. It's got to make the world right, okay? Because if the world finds out that it's a star, okay, it's going to turn on it. They're not ready for it. It's got to use these powers for
good. So it's kind of like Superman influences.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. I'm just saying that's what's going on.
That's cool, because it really puts you in a position of being kind of like a saint. Where, like, and I'm sure you're going to want to fight against this, but I think you're going to get killed. I believe you're going to have to die. And then, because then they can really, that character, the Star-Lord is what I want to call it.
We'll call it Star-Lord.
But, like, when it's incognito, it's Clark Kent. But it will really...
It's Superman when it's working the job.
It's Star-Lord to its friends, Clark Kent when it's at work.
And no, Superman is his name when it's working.
Oh. Then when is it Clark Kent?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, great. Doesn't matter. But you'll have to die so that it can then kind of, like, really honor you.
And since there's no real threat to me, I just stab myself in the apartment.
Yeah, you kill yourself.
And I call suicide. No, I don't.
Oh, because you're like, he's going to come save me.
And then I call him, but I call him too late.
I was going to say, the tragic origin story is that for attention, you did, like, a sort of fake suicide attempt, but he couldn't get to you in time, and you do die. Mm-hmm.
It's like,
and
the
then
he's
still trying to figure out, like, how he can honor your memory when you died like that, where you were, it was like, it was kind of like for attention, it was kind of dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, you want an origin story?
Yeah.
How about an Oregon story? Make it take place in Oregon. That's what I'm
saying. We just moved on to a new idea here. Okay, so that's what you would do with star formation. I love it. Before we get into this next one, I got five questions I want to ask you.
Oh, okay.
I'll do five super quick questions.
Let's make them quick.
What's the name of the Star Wars character Han Solo owes money to and who you also spiritually resemble?
I want to say Duncan Furter.
What do you call those little lenses that go over shark and bird eyes? I've said it repeatedly. It starts with an N.
Actually starts with a G. Those are goggles.
Who killed JFK?
I can't say anything.
What was the name of my childhood bully?
I want to say Duncan Furter.
Your dad is a doctor. What's the longest medical term you know?
Hog.
Okay, great. Moving right along. So this next topic, we're talking about when there's one of those movies that everybody hates.
Yeah.
And it's like, you haven't seen it, and you're probably like, for right now, to put us in a time capsule, it's definitely Madam Web.
You're getting universally panned right now. I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it, don't know, don't care, couldn't possibly care.
People are not happy with it. That's all I know.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, I was saying to Joey, like, it kind of excites me when this happens.
Yeah.
Like, I always kind of love when there's a movie that everybody really hates. Like, when everyone hated Geely, that was just awesome.
It's
fun. It was just like a fun time. And again, never saw, I think I saw some of it.
That's where it's like, it's all fun to like rip on something together when we're like collectively, we're all like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like, that's good because, like, okay, there is some kind of taste factor. Same thing with like Sonic the Hedgehog's animation originally was horrible.
Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, we don't like that. It looks too much like a man or something. Like,
no, it didn't look like the character. It looked insane. It was like a horrible, like, whoever made it. Yeah,
it's like when they fix up sculptures.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It was a scrum master who did it, and there should be a team of 30 people
working
on it. It was just one person
there
doing
you go.
It. I do also feel bad with Madam Web when you're like, it's an all female cast. Normally these movies get like panned because of some kind of incel hate, whatever. I don't know, but I'm like,
you always do is you have to I take away some percentage of the fervor of the hatred by going like, well, some of that is incels who just like need to hate women,
you're
and that's like their entire perspective on how art should work.
Exactly. Yes, if this isn't like a hot shirtless ripped guy, it's not what I want to see.
Okay. They're really mad if it's female led because they only want it to be men. It's great. Really just a great perspective. But it's also like, because it's not just that though. It's like when it'll hit, like, cause there was that for Marvel, Captain Marvel, you know, that's like the
another
incel hatred.
Female
but I'm saying that's the incel one where you go like, oh wait, but it's doing really well, but you guys don't like
it. And all that shit too.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. But that's tricky because also that Ghostbusters movie,
it was okay,
but it's also hard. It's really hard when you're trying to do
Ocean's
it up into a classic.
Yeah. Ocean's 8. Like,
yeah,
they,
you're right. It is. That does happen. The sexism is undeniable. It's undeniable. But with wait, what was the other one though? It was Madam Web. Oh, but the other one I was gonna say was Morbius, where that's not female led.
No, it's not.
My point is actually is that like with Ocean's 8, I kind of go like, I feel like it was, no one was saying that it's like the plot is so. I'm sure that was bad. Actually.
Well, the problem with that I felt was that people were saying give a new heist movie to all these actors.
Yeah.
Why like the Ocean series? Like,
yes.
Is in its own like world.
I also feel like in a similar way that Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie not getting nominated for Oscars kind of highlights the cultural sexism. I remember feeling when Ocean's 8 came out that it was like they're gonna do an Ocean's movie and it's gonna be female led and yet the number is so much smaller. I'm like, why is it 8? It should be at least 11. Like, why is it down?
You can do
it's
10
like Ocean's
again.
11, Ocean's 13, mm-hmm. and then we go Ocean's 8. Like, what? So
you know, do 10
fewer?
And a half and like have a baby.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Just,
like, but like, it's not one of those women's child. The baby is actually leading the heist.
Save it for the pitch. So now we've gotten on a completely different topic, which is basically cultural sexism towards movies. But do you feel like that is what's happening with Madam Web as well? You think that it's
I think it's a part of it. And I think that also goes into like, quote unquote, why these movies are like poorly received is I don't think that they're given the same kind of curation that Spider-Man A New Way Home is given.
Uh-huh.
Like those are like, these are franchises that have to be delicately
held.
I
feel like Marvel though has started like it's like broad franchising now.
Totally.
Where I kind of feel like nothing is, because I kind of go like, oh, even like the next Spider-Man movie, it's like, I think all the Marvel movies have kind of lost the plot several years back.
But I'm just from all of it, it doesn't seem like from the movies we're mentioning of female lead casts.
Yeah.
Like they are not given the same kind of grace and time to be like, let's come up with an original IP.
Yeah.
Like we can use these things as the core foundation and then build on top of it in a completely new world that is not going to hurt people's minds. That like, it's like, you know, like we're not stupid. Give people that grace to like, you know, or like at least that idea.
But what is the problem? Like, what has occurred with Madame Web then in your mind? It's like totally undervalued internally corporately.
Well, the thing that I find very funny about when I see who's the lead actor,
Dakota Johnson. Yeah, she makes me laugh.
She does a lot
of very bizarre sorts of things like that.
They have like the thing I know about the Madame Web movie is her interviews. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah.
I know like her being viral.
But I also associate Madame Web with like an old lady. Like that's like what it was in the book? In Spider-Man. Do you remember Madame Web was in it? In like the, did you ever watch the animated Spider-Man series?
Yeah.
There was Madame Web was in that. She like takes Spider-Man like into these different dimensions where he's like fighting with the X-Men and they're like on a different planet and all this crazy shit.
God damn.
So she would appear and she had this kind of like short gray hair kind of like up and this crazy whatever. But to me, right away, I was like, you don't make Dakota Johnson Madame Web. Like, it's too random. Yeah. It's too random.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. This is a character, no idea. Didn't know anything about Captain Marvel. I was like, okay, just these weren't characters that I if they had a show, I didn't know about.
But I feel like they worked hard to make Captain Marvel sort of like work.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
In its own right, with all the stuff where they're like the aliens are invading.
They gave Brie Larson,
Jackson,
like, they brought her in early.
And set in time.
You know, she's an Avenger, right? Like,
She's
in the crew. Oh, yeah, she did come through at the very end of that movie, just like decimate
Thanos'
ship.
Well, and they also did a series called Miss Marvel, which was also sort of female.
Oh, nice.
And I actually really enjoyed that. And that was a show. But it does feel like
we're just talking about a broader problem in the industry and also all American culture and workforce where like if the opportunity is gifted to a woman, we're going to say, nah, fuck it. What is it? Title 13? Is that what it is for like sports?
I'm not sure.
Whatever it was, like, you know, to give money to like female athletes in college and shit like that. Still less and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's like, it's a fucking problem.
Yeah. It's
you know
really
what I mean?
Nasty.
But like I,
And in no way what I was trying to
no not at all but I wanted to make a point just because it's like I'm like when I was like oh man I'm getting a lot of shit haven't seen it but I'm like well
you feel the instinct to not pile on because you kind of go like I feel like the whole thing is underwritten with sexism
that's what I'm saying I'm like I don't know yet I haven't seen the
I didn't really think of it like that but you're definitely right I mean
but Morbius but
actually,
is a great example
but actually especially within Marvel I feel like because I feel like there was a really obvious sexist thing with Captain Marvel. Like, I remember when that came out, it was sort of around the time where I was starting to go, like, I don't feel like it's good to be on Reddit. Like, I kind of go, I just go, like, you guys are, like, bad. Like, it's kind of, like, it's bad the way that you guys all talk, basically. So you're right, though, that there is like this history of the sexism, especially within the Marvel sort of universe or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, people feel so like.
But I was even thinking, like, Madame Web, like, I don't even remember that it's in the Marvel universe. Like, it just feels so random to me that I'm just like, that's in the same. Mm-hmm. And that, because it also kind of feels like it's weirdly feels connected to like WandaVision or something, where, because that's about like parallel reality stuff. Or it just feels so random to me that I wasn't even thinking about the sort
of
obvious
sexism. Did you see Madame Web or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I can't wait to see it.
I'm gonna check it out.
But that is the main thing I actually wanted to talk about, which is just that when something is so bad that it's sort of like you want to see it because it's bad. It's almost like the phenomenon of Nicole Kidman doing the AMC theater lead-in thing, where it's almost like it's so bad and so cringy that you're sort of like you. It's kind of amazing. You want to see it. Or Snakes on a Plane.
Yes,
I remember.
Yes.
Well, you know, any of these movies where you kind of the campiness, but also just like this, where I go like it almost weirdly doesn't feel mean-spirited to go like, oh, I gotta watch it. It's gonna be so bad.
The Nicole Kidman thing, Snakes on a Plane. I love that because.
A different thing than what you're right. Yeah, yeah. It is different from Madame Web.
Yeah, but like those things, like the Nicole Kidman thing was like a cultural phenomenon, still is. They retired it, but I'm sure she's going to do another one. Which is like, if you haven't seen it, Nicole Kidman is just walking up to an AMC alone.
Yeah.
There's no one working there.
And in full glam.
Yeah, and she just like broke in and then
sits
down to watch a movie. And the whole time she's talking about how important it is, how meaningful this thing is, etc. This is right after the pandemic. So theaters were opening up and she did this to get people to come back, which we did. And it was beyond successful. Yeah. We're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
Like doing that, I think is, and Snakes on a Plane are such a fun, like kind of like like wink to us all to say like, this is, we're still playing.
Yeah.
Like we can still like, I'm in, like I can be a character here. I can do this. You get this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, we can enjoy this. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to be like, everything doesn't need to be this Oscar, like driving serious fucking thing. Like you can still be an entertainer in this capacity
sure.
to give me joy.
Sure.
To that point, like at Oscar movies, when I hear about them, or like, you know, they're this is like an Oscar bait film.
Yeah.
I won't watch it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
a lot of the time it's really difficult to rise to watch it.
I'm like, I couldn't care less. It's going to be like, just like, so boring. The pacing is going to be so long because they got to have these scenes stretched out to show that moment yeah. or whatever the fuck it is. But you tell me a movie's bad?
Yeah.
I am lining up to watch it.
Yeah, because it's like the watching is so different. Like
it's fun
you kind of go in like, wow, why yes. did they do that?
Well, when someone says this is bad,
yeah,
I go in there going like zero expectations.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, okay, I'm here to see like a shit show. But I actually walk away from going
that's
like, I'll watch this two or three more times because there's a scene that I really like. Or actually, there was like, this is like actually a good edit. I was like, I'm able to appreciate.
In the bad thing.
Yes. Uh-huh. Like the really good
stuff. Or there's one part that is so funny.
Yeah, like, yes. Yeah, so you have to. I mean, we would watch, I'd make Mike watch horrible movies. Yeah. I would find
this. Birdemic comes to mind.
Birdemic was a fantastic. We'd watch it with the commentary on.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
It was a climate movie. Like, and it was, it's so, so they made a sequel, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hilarious. We would watch it.
Yeah.
And I'll admit it, we got high.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, yeah. That was back when you used to smoke weed.
And we would be like screaming at the TV when we could find an inconsistency or we found like a little like funny moment. We would
Here's the thing though that I would say. Like, I feel like what I've actually discovered though as I've gotten older with movie watching as well, like, it's almost like though when the movie is like this, like the type of feeling that I'm getting with Madame Web or like one of these other, I don't know, like bad, like Morbius, you go, actually, though, what it's going to feel like to watch it is like a form of suffering where like actually it's so bad. It kind of like feels like a headache, you know, and it's like a weird thing where I'll go like, oh, everyone's saying that's really bad. And then you're watching it going like, oh, my God.
You know why it's
oh,
bad?
Oh, my God.
Those suffering moments are because it's like it's corporate trash.
Yes, you know what that's what it is. That's really what I'm talking about. When you go like, oh, but it wasn't for a lack of money.
No,
like
no,
they were dumping money into this.
Too
like
much.
When you're talking about Birdemic being bad or The Room being bad, it's like, well, it's kind of like partly it's budgetary. Obviously, it's bad for a million reasons, but budget is a huge part of it. When the movie, you go, well, sure, how much? $100 million for Madame Web? You know, they're throwing money into it and then it's bad. It kind of like pisses me off too.
Yeah.
Where you kind of go like, it's like gluttonous. You go like, you guys put so much money into this. You have so many, a committee of people all working on this and it's garbage.
To use those films as an example of like why we can't give money for other projects.
Yes.
It's like, well, because you're bad at investing or like, you know, parsing through these things. And I'm not saying to Madame Web, I'm saying in general, film doesn't do well. Like the guy at the Oscars.
Yes, no, like, exactly. Like, I was just picturing that.
You know,
that
it's
as
like,
well.
So.
Yeah. For American Fiction.
Exactly. And shout out to James Lowe's who sent me that clip and was like, you were right. We should do 1 million movies that cost a penny.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean?
Yo,
like,
you're right. Yeah. That was one of your points.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, look, am I saying I've always been ahead of the game? No. Am I saying that I still am? I don't know. Catch up to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just that quick with it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is what I would do about like watching bad movies or hearing about like, you know, what about all that stuff is that I would create we need cultural vanguards, okay?
Yeah.
We need cultural curators, people to tell us what's good. I don't want, like, you know, a random blurb from a website that's being paid to say that, et cetera, like 5 stars. No, I don't give a shit. I don't know who you are. Anonymous. We have movie reviews from Twitter.
Dude, whenever I see that on the screen, I'm like, anyone can say anything.
What?
Like, you can. I could just work at Paramount and then just make that account and say that.
And I'm sure they do.
Yeah, like that. It's the worst vetting. Whenever I see that, I'm disturbed.
Yeah, I'm like, can't be good.
Yeah. Right?
But that's why we need somebody like actually at the helm and telling us what's good and what's not. All right.
Yeah.
Now, what am I going to do? Okay. Now, Siskel and Ebert, they're gone.
Yeah.
Right. But what we can do is we can exhume them. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put them in some kind of, you know, chamber filled with water, ice. I don't know, whatever we need to do.
Sure.
Okay. And have their.
Some kind of electrical nodes, I assume.
Well, whatever it is. It could be.
I'm just trying to help you.
How about electrical yeses? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And we put those into their brain. We get their brain pumping into, right, two different AI, whatever you want. Let's say they're AI humans or AI, whatever. It could be.
But you're basically saying we bring back some old cultural vanguards to tell us if a movie is good or bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And we make them watch every film. Not make them watch. They can't do anything. Okay. And also, in all due respects to the bodies and to the spirits, et cetera, like that.
Sure.
Like,
oh, my main takeaway is that you're showing tremendous respect to the bodies. For sure.
Is that like we're not saying like that. It's not like torture and that. Like, what are they doing? Yeah. They're just sitting in a casket.
Yeah, you know, like, it's actually better. The amenities are better.
That's
up
what I'm
here.
Saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, because it's super dry underground. Yeah, now it's wet. Now it's wet again. Yeah, and we trim the nails. We trim the hair. Get
6 feet under is not gonna be super dry.
So we get them and we pump every single movie that they've missed since their passing. Put it through like their brain, goes to that AI, and then every movie has to be viewed by them again. And then they'll tell us if this is good or not.
Yeah.
Because there's no one alive that I'm trusting right now. So that's why I have
it's
to go
It's
going to
be an amazing moment for the culture when one of them kills themselves as a result.
Who?
Siskel and Ebert, two men who have perished. But when they are ingesting all of this new media and they just go, no, that'll be a real cultural indictment.
They're not going to be able to.
Wow. Yeah, you're going to put in certain restrictions to make it so that no matter you own them and you get to do whatever you want is what you're saying.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. Okay. I own the AI.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But you are feeding off of the bodies and some sort of soul. Some sort of soul of the body is what you're feeding off of, right? Because it's not just the biological matter that is the corpse. Uh-huh. You're feeding off of some essential essence of them.
The Krull.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I would do. When the movie The Matrix came out on DVD, I remember my dad bought this like a special edition thing with it, where it would show like in the corner of the screen, it would show like a white rabbit sometimes. And if you click it, then it would give you sort of like some BTS interviews about that scene, whatever, sort of fun. Some behind the scenes stuff. I think when a movie is really bad, and I bet you this is going to start happening, you should swing into how bad it is and put in features like that where it shows you why this scene is so bad.
So, like, not even anything that you can touch or, like, press. Like, it will just do that automatically.
Yeah, like, it should just, like, give these sort of automatic, like, narrative asides where it's like, so this is what's happening in Madam Web, but then you go, like, and now look at, it's these executives were on set talking about this, and that's why that idea got so bad and so messy. And so then we kind of follow on this meta level, like, why it got so bad. Or like you show like the sound guy was really just not good, or like they kept firing like the main person, the DP.
So this is just getting people fired, or like getting people, the people lose their job.
No, it's sort of owning it. It's owning that it was so bad and showing instead of, because I feel like what a lot of these things do is when the final product comes out, it's like corporate denial. Like, we thought it was good. No, we thought it was good. We actually thought it was good. Actually, we thought it was good. And no one is owning that it's actually a disaster and that they did a bad job. So I think we should see exactly why it was so bad.
I think people are going to lose their jobs. I don't know if that's going to fly.
Yeah. No. And that's okay with me. That's okay with me. All right. Moving right along. So this is exciting because it's almost setting us up to have a really dry topic here.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like we want this thing to happen, but it's not happening. I'm talking about when you got the giggles.
Getting the giggles. I think it's a hunt all of us are chasing.
Love getting the giggles. Like I love when my friend has the giggles.
Oh my
when
God.
When someone's trying to tell me a story and they can't stop laughing, it's a drug. Enjoyable to me.
I think back on the giggle fests I used to have and I'm like, am I just bitter now? It's like, have I lost that like spark of just like joy that just comes
we are
age?
As you become like an adult, you are less often or more rarely, I guess, like in the right settings to have big giggle fests.
Yeah, I guess I'm also too like we suffer a lot of fools in the day to day that like you didn't.
Yes.
Or like you could also like
you're just hanging out when you're in your 20s and you're doing whatever in college, high school. You know, because for me the giggles, the earliest memories I have of the giggles are being at a sleepover party.
Oh my God! Yeah, can't go to bed.
And then suddenly everything is funny.
Yes. Oh my God. Like the longest laughs are like when you're so tired.
Yes.
And then someone says something stupid. Someone farts. Someone rips ass.
Yes. And then you're all having a huge laugh. And then it's like one of you will not be able to stop laughing for the rest of the night.
I've said
and
this.
And then the silence will start to make you laugh.
I've said this many times. We got to bring back adult slumber parties. I'm not talking about orgies. I'm not talking about swing seshes. Okay. I'm talking about just adult friends sleeping over in the same room. Watching a movie, having a pizza party, giggling their ass off. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a bucket to piss and shit in. And like, we do that. Like, that's something that we should do.
Yeah. That's a service we should offer.
That's what I'm saying. I'll provide that.
I think I had a slumby party with you like maybe a few years ago. I mean, pre-COVID, I guess. But you know, it was always a fun time.
Well, we were in Vegas. We went out to Vegas.
Oh, yes. That was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
We did more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I right?
I agree, dude. No, I love a slumby party. I think it's really fun, and I agree that we need more of them. But when it comes to the giggles, I feel like I also get it less, but I still get it a good amount of time. And it's like my favorite thing. But it's also sort of a thing I was thinking about. If you don't like the person, then it is not charming.
No.
Like, have you ever been around someone and they're trying to tell a story and then they're interrupted by the giggles and you're like, just get to it.
Sociopath.
Yeah.
I'm like, this sociopath. Same thing I see in stand-ups where they'll say a joke and then laugh.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle does that a lot where he'll like hit the mic on his leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like a tell to be like, you're supposed to laugh here. Like,
yeah, yeah. This is and you're kind of going, look how funny I think it is.
Yes. Yeah. It's a tool. Yeah. You know definitely what I mean? Tool, like yeah. I get it. I
totally in that understand. Setting, for sure. For sure.
You know, but it is... it's like, well, I'll decide what I like.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Like, I get it. Like, you know, et cetera. But that's what I feel when people are laughing at their own thing and I don't like them. I'm like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting? Like, yeah. If it's your friend and they're laughing and they're having a good time, like, I'm so excited for them.
You love them. You want them to have a good time.
I wish I was doing that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and then you see somebody enjoying something you don't like and you're like, fuck, I'm not enjoying my life. What's going on?
Yeah. Sucks, I got to take this guy down.
I'm going to do everything I can to dox him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mentality that goes through, which I think is normal, natural, and good. Okay.
Do you feel like as someone in like the comedy space that you notice people's laughs like more than other people do?
First off, I want to say I love being referred to someone in the comedy space.
Yeah.
I think whenever I hear
would you prefer I as a comedian?
Sure. Okay. Like comedy space to me is triggering. Because well, yeah, it's so I don't. Corporate.
Yeah, it's executive
it's,
talk.
It's corporate.
Yeah, but what I really mean is like
I know what you
beyond
mean.
Just being a comedian, I'm saying like you're just like around people who do comedy
yes.
in a comedic capacity. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying like I standing on stage, do you notice laughter more? Like, I'm saying like because of doing a bunch of things that are related to comedy for basically my whole life, I feel like I notice people's laughs and it like does something to me. Like there, I know some people where I think that they have an annoying laugh or there's something about it that feels like aggressive to
yes,
me or something.
Yeah.
Where I feel that no one else notices or cares.
Well, no, but
I'm
don't.
Like, I gotta not be around that person because that laugh annoys me so
well,
much.
It's a work related issue,
yeah.
right? Like there are many like the whole point of what we're doing is try to elicit laughter.
Yeah.
And like, not to say that people's laughs like, oh, someone's got an annoying laugh.
That's no, I think what I mean actually is that I don't believe the laugh.
Well, this is my point. Like,
it's not, you can have I almost prefer annoying laughs.
Me too. Because
like,
I'm like,
I have
great.
A silly little laugh.
I'm like, annoying laughs, quote unquote, like are really fun because it's a different pitch, a different cadence that is like irregular.
It feels
to the
pure.
Ear. Yeah. And I'm like, great. That like, keep that up. When people highlight that, so hearing that like laughter is important to your craft. Why would you want to stop that from happening? But there, I know what you mean of like the forced thing. We've all been in environments, I should say comedians.
Yeah.
I assume where you're in an environment where there's a kind of a sycophantic energy or there's a celebrity on stage or there's some, you want to be noticed for this. You're not really enjoying this experience.
Yes.
And
no,
that's
exactly.
What
yes. It's exactly that where it's almost like it's like an overly aggressive laugh. But as a means of getting attention for somehow getting the joke the most.
I mean, think of it like if Harry Styles or like a really famous person, regardless, like gorgeous person, is like doing an interview for like Good Morning.
He really is so gorgeous.
He's a hot.
He's a really hunky British man.
And when they're doing an interview, et cetera, like we can see like the fawning that like is exuding from the audience.
Yeah.
And like they'll say something like, you know, off the cuff or something witty or whatever, something like, you know, just funny.
Yeah.
And the eruption of laughter is like to show to that person like I like you the most or whatever. And it's like crazy.
I always feel like it's that I get it the most. It's really bad.
It's wild. And all that dissection of laughter, I find that I don't laugh as often as I used to. Like just because it's like something on the mind and like working with it as like a commercial piece, like eventually like you got to sell some of the things that you're like, fuck, okay, what's funny like that approach is horrible but becomes normal and I'm like, fuck dude, instead of it being like this giggle fest, that's what we created this idea. You get punched in the gut so many times like we're not going to use that. You're like, so what do you want?
We'll do that.
Great. And that sucks, but it's something to be aware of, at least for myself. I was like, oh wow, I'm feeling that. And also too, you watch so much comedy, your taste preference like starts to mature.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not laughing at everything as you did when you first started. You're like, you have those pockets. You're like, I like that more, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the things that are surprising are like more rare and probably have to be more insane to get you to really be like, didn't see that coming. That's so fucking like, oh my gosh, right? Because it's our job.
Yeah.
But I enjoy interpersonally, like friend to friend, someone's doing something really silly or stupid. That's To me, always the best.
It's just so great.
Why we need more slumber parties?
Yeah. No, I agree. That's the nursery where that gets made, yeah. Honestly. Like, you get that good laugh. Because I always think of being specifically in a setting where you're not supposed to be laughing. Yes. I think is where it always starts for me.
Yeah.
Like, I always think of church and school as, like, two places where I'm not supposed to laugh, and it really gives me the giggles.
A courtroom.
But I feel it a lot, actually, as an adult. Like, I feel like if someone is, like, in the event that I'm, like, talking to a cop or something, like, I always just think, like, oh, I'm just going to start laughing because I feel like I'm supposed to be being so serious or something. That's almost a place where I go, like, I really don't want it to happen.
And how many scenes have we done where you're talking to a cop?
Yeah.
And all you're thinking right now is, like, where could this go?
Yeah, and you just go, like, oh, it's so insane. Well, and also, like, anytime that you have to, like, show your respect and reverence, it feels funny to me.
I got pulled over in 2000.
I was just thinking, if I got pulled... Yeah, go ahead.
So, like, 2000 maybe, what was it, like, 2000... 9 or something like that, driving to Arizona, LA to Miami, get pulled over for this cop. I was speeding. The cop goes, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, oh, no, like, you were speeding. Where were you going? And I was like, I was going to the cop museum. That's what I said. I was like, I'm going to the cop museum. Uh-huh. Thinking, I was like, that's funny. Maybe they'll believe me.
Absolutely never be funny to
did
cops.
Did not believe me.
Yeah.
Did not pay that for a while. They were like, hey, we're coming for you. Like, Arizona's coming for you. And I was like, I don't think you are.
I
paid it. And then I was able to drive through it freely again.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, talking to a cop, though. Well, and on February 14th, 2014, I remember because it was Valentine's Day, I got hit by a drunk driver. And on the highway, and their car, it was truly a really insane person hit me going 100 miles an hour, and their car flipped over my car. It was like an action movie, unbelievable thing to witness. But I remember when I was talking to the cops, I kept feeling like I was going to laugh. Even though I was like, I think it's like shock or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
But I remember, like, the cop goes, like, have you been drinking? And I absolutely had not been. And I was, but I almost laughed so hard. It was just so bizarre where I really vividly remember going, like, do not laugh. Do not laugh when they ask you that. Like, it was almost like I knew I was sober. So I was like,
yeah, you're like, I'm in the clear.
Of course not. Oh my God, no. But it was sort of in the moment. I had the instinct to laugh so hard. And to this day, I'm like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't laugh. Thank God.
Because you would have been detained.
Yeah, somehow would have been detained.
It would have just been longer process. Yeah, you would have been found, like, not drinking, whatever. But still, like, it was like, he laughed, though.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because most police officers, you know, God bless, you know, valedictorians from our high schools.
Yep.
The very thoughtful, critical thinking people.
That's so, what, like, my valedictorian went on to do as well, is just be a cop.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I think if we reflect back on all our high school valedictorians, they're all police officers at this point.
Here's what I would do with when you got the giggles. I actually just remember there's this Japanese reality competition that enemy of the pod Russell Kabir told me about when I was in Tokyo, where it's like all these comedians in a house and they're all just trying not to laugh. And so the entire show is like they're trying to make each other laugh. And then they're trying for themselves to not laugh. And, like, people can pause and call you out and say that you just laughed. And they'll do playback and see if it counts as a laugh and all this sort of stuff. I just want to be on that show.
That sounds amazing.
How much fun would that be?
I mean, I'd laugh immediately.
I would get off the show instantaneously because I would just immediately laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I was watching it, and it was just in Japanese without subtitles. And so I don't understand any of it. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Where I was going, like, I would just laugh so hard.
It's so fun.
If someone just made an unexpected face, like, but I would want to compete on it every year because that just sounds really fun. Well, I feel like that's where...
Other people need to get on there.
Yeah, right? But I get out so fast, though, that it's kind of like it's an empty slot.
Charming.
Yeah. But also, it's almost like if I picture, you know, you talk about like sending a dog that gets put down, you say like, we took them to a farm and the whatever, and that's, you know, where you retire your dog to in your mind. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where I would like my memory to be retired is I'm on a game show where I'm trying not to laugh, but I got the giggles.
Well, I got to tell you, it's not what's happening because I've exhumed your body.
Yeah.
Put you in a tank with ice.
Yeah.
Put some, you know.
Some yeses in there.
Electronic yeses in there. Hook that up to an AI dog.
Yeah. And it's sucking my crawl right out of me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For science and for movie reviews. Dude.
And so that you got one over me.
This is what I would do about the giggles, all right? I want everyone to have them as often as possible. I know it's so hard with our day-to-day. It's just like, well, what are we going to do? So, again, creating some kind of proprietary technology where metal hooks go underneath your ribs through your skin. That goes all the way up into your cheeks to create a smile, all right? That is going to send an electric shock that makes you giggle. And you're mm-hmm. actually going to be giggling all day. Regardless of your internal emotions, you're going to be giggling, kind of yeah. like some kind of Joker poison.
Yeah, it's really scary. Right? It's
I'm
really,
not
really
saying
scary.
That's what it is, because I'm not a villain, all right? Yeah. What I am saying, okay, is that you should be laughing, having a good time every day, no matter what, because if there's one thing that we can guarantee for ourselves is that we should enjoy the life that we have, all right? So that's what I want to do. I just want to bring a little life
I love
light
it.
Back to you.
I love it. Okay, great. Hope that helped,
hope
everyone.
That helped.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You are in a Saw-style scenario. You wake up in this room, you're chained to a wall.
Am I Jigsaw?
You see this little saw on the ground, whatever. But you actually realize, you go, oh, this is 100% from Saw 1.
It's that guy in the tubs from the Princess Bride.
Yes, you're Carrie Elwes or whatever, however his last name is pronounced. And then it's the other guy, whoever he is.
Oh, Jigsaw's in the tub.
And no, Jigsaw, he's just like laying on the ground like a dead
he's
body.
He's in the tub.
I think, yeah, what, you know what? I haven't seen it since it came out, so I don't know. I thought he was just laying on the ground looking dead but being still. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It doesn't matter. You recognize all of it, and you go like, oh, wait, that the dead body over there is not dead. That's Jigsaw, whatever. And so you play the game knowing that already, and you crush it. And you're being hilarious, and you're just on whatever. You get the other guy to kill himself. Like it's
what?
Like it's. I think that's what Jigsaw wants.
I don't
the guy, know. The guy's like head explodes, like some really fucked up thing. But you're like, look, it was him or me. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to be here, yeah, frankly. But I did some wrong in my life, and that's why Jigsaw got me, and that's why I'm here.
Right.
And so, but then Jigsaw, he gets up and he reveals himself, and he's like, he gives you a slow clap.
Is he nude?
He is nude. Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And, but you're trying to not look at the hog or whatever. But he gives you a slow clap and he goes, Joe, love what you do. I love what you do. That was great. I loved listening. It was all so great. I'm on this thing right now where I'm stretched really thin with coming up with my Jigsaw puzzle things to torture and kill people.
Yeah.
You got any fun ideas to like set one up or whatever? He brings you into this room. He shows you he's got like a big metal box. He's got this thing with a bunch of blades. He's got a little puppet. He's got all this stuff. He goes, this is my next target. Shows you a picture of me. It's electrical storm in your head. You're like, yes, yes. This is what I've always wanted. I'll have complete power over him.
Right.
And so you're like, I got this thing. So you have all the tools. You got Jigsaw backing you, but you have to impress him. Because there's kind of this implicit thing of like, if you fuck this up, next
one's
on
you. No, I know exactly
what
I do.
Yeah, so let's hear it.
I get you on a 10-year long contract for a sitcom. Multicam.
Yeah.
Sitcom. That's what it is. And you don't know that I'm the executive doing the rewrites day of.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's rough.
That's,
yeah.
That's what I do to you.
You honestly, you hit me. You know, they say when you cut a dog's nail, not to cut the quick, you know? You just did that to me. You cut me on a really deep level where I go, oh, yeah, that really.
You think I'm going to just end you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
No, you put me in a. You're making hacky jokes and doing a. Yeah.
You're dancing around.
Okay.
You're like Michael Jordan on that prison planet. You know what I mean? Like having to like play against kids and you can't win and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Sad.
That's what it is.
That's great.
That's what. Okay. So you're looking to get a new barber. You went online. You're looking at different reviews. You're like, oh shit, you know, it's a difficult process because you want to find someone you can trust, someone who's not going to botch the fucking first haircut, and also someone within a certain price range. It's really difficult. You got to juggle all these different things that you want. One of them is going to outweigh the other. It's like, fuck, okay. You find this one barber, fantastic reviews, etc. Everyone loves you. You see the haircuts that they've made. You're like, these are really good. Some of them are like, oh my God, that's exactly what I want. You look at the price. $450. Like, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's like so much money for one haircut.
Yeah.
Probably gonna have to go multiple times. I'm like, fuck, okay, no, I can't do that. You look at another one, the reviews are horrible. Haircuts like, okay, there's one that's like a little bit like the version you want. You can kind of see and justify, like, yeah, I guess I'll take that. It's only $20 for a haircut. You're like, fuck, that's so cheap. I can go in like whenever the fuck I want. You see a third barber. It's me.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
It's a video. It's me just doing curls. Yeah. All right. No reviews about the haircuts. People are just like commenting, get this guy off this website.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be on this barber review website. Just there's just a video of
it's
him
unrelated.
Doing curls.
Some kind
all right.
Of glitch. Yeah.
You see the price, you see it's only two check marks, okay? Or not check marks, but like, you know, dollar signs.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I guess like what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
You're curious.
Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know I'll probably give you a deal. All right.
Yeah.
Which of the three do you choose?
I guess I just go for the $20 one because I don't really care that much. But I'm just sort of like, yeah, cut my hair, whatever. It's all fine. Even if it's terrible, it doesn't really matter at this point. We're in like the mullet era of haircuts now. You know, like anyone can have any haircut and it just doesn't really matter. I 100% don't trust you. Like I wouldn't want you to even have scissors in your hand and I'm in the same room. Like I just don't trust that at all. Almost for your own safety. Like I just know you don't have.
So you'll attack me?
You'll cut yourself really badly is what will happen. It's just what it is. And then the 450 guy, I'm like, I definitely don't care. Definitely not gonna do that.
So you wouldn't help me out when I needed money? Express myself artistically? Because
I go, he's not taking it seriously. Why is it a video of him lifting weights? He's lifting fives.
Show you that I'm fucking ready to go.
It's 2 5s. It's just like, I'm just like, it doesn't mean anything.
Do you know those other barbers can do that? I don't know.
I assume they can.
Well, who knows if they can? Well, I'm showing you
I'm never going to learn it. I'm never going to learn it. You are a really beloved roadie. Like you work like it with, you know, all these really famous musicians, whatever. And you're just like sort of like this universally beloved roadie. Now, what I want is for you to sort of give me like a creative player of you as a roadie that everybody loves. I want name. I want what you look like. I want like your general sort of like vibe. And then most importantly, I want the thing that you say when you test the microphone.
Okay. My name is, and this is actually my legal name. Mm-hmm. All right. My name is Stank Hedman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Stank Hedman,
yeah, all that's right. Good.
5'2", mm-hmm. 195.
Uh-huh. You're a bigger guy. Are you muscular?
No.
No.
But I'm surprisingly strong.
Yeah, and fast, I bet.
Yeah. Quick.
Yeah.
Flexible as a motherfucker as well. My look, all leather.
Yeah.
Leather socks.
Yeah, so we know that if there's not music around, it's like
there needs moving. To be music. There needs to be things.
Yeah,
going
yeah,
on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
When I test the
boots,
mic,
you're wearing boots.
And they're too big.
Yeah, but before you get to swimming when you test the mic, like, what's your vibe? Like the way people describe when they're talking about Stank Hedman.
Talk too much, smokes indoors.
But he is that fucking great at his job.
God damn, he's so fucking good.
Yeah, okay.
Great hang.
Yeah,
great hang.
Yes, I think that's a key thing. He's got to be a good hang.
Don't let him do blow.
Yeah.
Don't let Stank do blow.
Yeah, yeah. Because he works for Cutco Knives, and he'll sell you on that shit.
What's going on with the knives in me, dude? Leave it out. I'm not going to cut myself. So the thing I say when I touch the touch and test the mic is, this mic stank.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's how people know it's there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... you are looking at an above ground pool. Mm-hmm. You're trying to find one, you know, like, you know, the kids, everyone's like, oh, you're like, fuck it. I'm not going to dig a ditch for a pool because who knows what you're going to find down there. Maybe some ancient scrolls. It turns out to be a library. You get a fucking promotion, but no one remembers your name. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you're looking at it. So you go to like, where else do you go? You go to an above ground pool store. You're like,
sure.
Fuck it. Okay.
Sure.
So you go on, you're like, looking at the different things. You're like, I guess.
That take up a lot of land. Huh?
Oh my God. You're like, these things are actually really tall. Like, they're bigger than I thought. Like, how big is this line? And like, you're like wobbling the sides of you. Like, that's sturdy. I've seen so many of these things bust. Like, what the fuck? Sure. And a salesman comes up to you. Hey, how you doing? Nice place to meet you. You're looking at some of the grown up pools, and you're like, I am. Okay. Goes, well, I got a special one for you. It's not on the showroom floor. It's actually in the back. You want to see it? And you're like, yeah, okay. Takes you to his 1996 Lincoln Continental, right? And you're like, what the fuck? Opens the trunk, and there it is, just a tiny little bowl. He's like, what do you think? You're like, what the fuck is this? Uh-huh. Like, oh, no, I know it looks like a little bowl, but if you put sand in here and these two crystal rocks, it'll go into any kind of pool. You got to whisper to it, it'll go into any kind of pool you want. So you're like, do it. You're like, no, then it wastes the bowl. I can't do that. But, you know, it's not on the show. It's a special offer I'm giving you.
Yeah.
The ones in there, that's like $20,000. The one right here, I'm like, $6,000.
$6,000. Still pretty expensive.
What do you do?
Well, I'm a sucker, so I would buy it. I would go for it because I just the curiosity is what always gets me.
I love this.
I just kind of go, let's see.
What do you whisper into the bowl?
I whisper, please become big. Please become
that's
big.
That's it?
A big Olympic pool.
Olympic pool.
That's what I want, yeah.
Olympic above ground pool.
I'm a farmer in this one, so I want an Olympic above ground pool. And because I'm putting all my faith into it. If it could just become one of these normal size ones, I'm sort of like, I'll just save up for the normal size. But if it's a wish-based one, it's fucking Jack and the Beanstalk shit, I'm going to try and get my money's worth.
You wouldn't want to do Lazy River?
Fuck. Yes, fine. Nope. Let me trade.
You already said an Olympic size above ground pool. You wouldn't want to have a Lazy River above ground pool?
I wish I had said Lazy
River. A Lazy River above ground river?
I wish I had said that. I do wish I had said that. That'd be sick. That'd be really sick.
Sick as shit.
You start having this recurring dream. In the dream, you're being fed huge, like cream-filled donuts, but they're amazing. Like, you love it. It's, like, so delicious.
What is it?
And the more that
Van Wilder cream-filled, or?
I don't know. Oh, no. I assume that's, like, dog jizz or something. Right? So then nasty, yeah. But it's just great. It's delicious. And the more that you eat them, the fucking more rock hard your six-pack gets. Jeez. Like, you're just getting, like, jacked from eating this delicious thing. So, but it's in a dream. This is in your dream.
But it's really happening.
So you fall asleep, you have this dream, and you love it. And you wake up, and you're like, wow, I feel amazing.
I better do this.
But you haven't eaten anything. And then everything kind of, you're like, I don't really want to eat that anymore.
I want that cream filled.
So you constantly are going into this dream then. You go like, let me just see if I can fall asleep. You're taking drugs to fall asleep. And you go back in, it's always this dream. You're getting fed these things, whatever. Eventually you wake up, and you're like fucking Christian Bale in The Machinist. Like, you're so skinny. You're like not getting any sustenance. And then everyone's begging you, like, please eat.
I am.
You're like, in my dreams. Yeah. But so now you go into the dream one last time, and you kind of go like, if I stay in here and I don't eat, I'm going to die. But being in here with the donuts is so great, whatever. And all the while, this one guy has been feeding you the donuts, right? Like, you don't have to. That's the question. You're in there, though. You're super jacked. He's feeding you the donuts. You're deciding in this moment, are you going to break up this relationship with the guy feeding you the donuts and go back to real life where you can get sustenance and eat food?
I'm scared of this guy. I'm in a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking it
up. I think so.
I'm not breaking that up. I'm too scared.
Oh, you're in a nightmare, but you're going, I don't want to break this thing up. I'm going to stay.
I'm scared. Yeah.
Yeah. So you die.
Yeah. That's what happens. All right. This is a simple one. You got an Impossible Burger, right? And then another Impossible Burger. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to dip it in one of two condiments. You have two burgers, but they're just one. Don't think of them as separate, even though you have two in different hands.
Sure, sure.
They're the same.
But they're one.
They're one. Yeah. And you have two condiments. Both have to be dipped in one. First one is a mixture of mayonnaise and ketchup. The second one is hot water.
I would do the mayonnaise and ketchup.
You don't want to get hydrated while you eat?
No, it just sounds disgusting. Like, isn't that like what they do in like eating competitions?
Yeah, for hot dogs, Mike. I'm talking about adding a little more water to your
diet. It just sounds disgusting. No, I do the mayo and ketchup. I don't really like mayo, but you mix those two things together. It's a nice flavor.
It is nice. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really great. Okay, bye. Love you guys.